present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers, with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Richard Armstrong, Gene Anderson, Blake Butler, and Alan Curtis. Episode 6, Manipulation.
Roger, time to get up.
I am up, nearly dressed. Come in, Mother.
Morning, darling. Shall I run you the bath?
I've had one.
Oh, get your breakfast, then.
Oh, I don't want any.
No breakfast?
Oh, just a cup of coffee.
Are you sure?
A little cereal, perhaps.
Oh, coffee and cereal, right.
And maybe an egg.
One egg?
Or two, and some bacon, perhaps a couple of sausages, toast and marmalade.
Is that all?
Well, I'm not hungry this morning.
Never mind, Roger. I expect you'll be ready for a good lunch.
I never eat lunch, Mother.
Oh, darling, you ought to eat something.
Well, I do have a snack.
What sort of a snack? A grated carrot on a lettuce leaf?
That sort of thing, yes. A couple of scotch eggs, a couple of ham rolls, three or four sandwiches, bread and cheese. It's all I can manage.
No wonder you're hungry by the evening. Will you be in to supper tonight?
That depends.
On what?
On whether you can lend me some money.
Oh, darling, I wish I could.
But you can, Mother. There's no good saying you haven't got any because I paid you my rent yesterday.
I know, Roger, but I need that.
Well, so do I. So if you could just lend it back to me?
But I lent it back to you last week.
Well, don't worry, I'm keeping an account.
It's not keeping account that worries me, it's keeping the money.
On a purely temporary basis, you'll get it all back.
When?
When I'm established at the bar, say 2 or 3 years.
Oh, I wonder if they'll wait as long as that.
Who?
The tradesmen. They keep wanting me to pay their bills. People are so grasping nowadays.
Honestly, but you really ought to be able to manage better, Mother. You've got your income and my rent coming in weekly.
Yes, darling. Coming in and going out. Just like the tide at Frinton.
Why Frinton?
We always used to go there when you were little.
What's that got to do with it?
You used to watch the tide coming in and going out. I expect that's where you got the idea. I must say, darling, I'm rather surprised you're always so short. I mean, you've got your income too, haven't you?
It was only a little one.
And your fees from all those lovely briefs Mr. Merivale sends you?
Mother, please, don't.
Roger, what is it?
Don't remind me.
What?
That time when I defended old Merivale against that maniac woman.
But you won your case.
And lost my solicitor. I insisted he should come into court. He was there 3 hours, never even called. All that time some rich American was waiting in his office to see him. Until he couldn't wait any longer and went to another firm. Mr. Merivale says he's lost thousands of pounds of the business. It's all my fault, he'll never forgive me.
Beastly unfair.
Hey, well, don't worry about your rent, Mother. I'll see you get it every week. Even if I had to borrow it off you first.
Thank you, darling. But, will that work?
Of course it will.
I lend you money so that you can pay me rent and then you borrow it back again.
Exactly. It keeps cash circulating. Good for business. The flow of funds.
Well, it may be a flow for you, Roger. It's nothing but ebb for me.
Don't make any more difficulties, Mother.
Oh, all right, Roger. I'll make your breakfast.
Well, just a mouthful. I must rush. I want to catch Sally before she leaves for work.
You mustn't be long, Roger. I've got to go to work.
I know. I envy you, Sally. Regular job, regular money coming in.
You could have the same.
Me?
If you're finding it a struggle at the bar, I'm sure you would get a job in the legal department of some big firm.
Go and work in an office.
Well, what's wrong with an office?
It's not the office, it's the work.
If you ever make a success at the bar, you'll have to work much harder.
That's different.
How?
I'd be paid for what I do instead of doing what I'm paid for.
At the moment, it seems to be neither.
Well, purely temporary, till that queue starts to form. And talking of queues, what about that film tonight?
Which one?
You know, the Swedish one, Jealousy. I thought we might have a nice little dinner first and then go on to the movie.
But you haven't any money, have you?
Yes, I managed to raise a little. I'll pick you up at 6:30.
All right, darling.
We'll toy with a lobster Newberg and then go to the movies.
I hope it won't be too permissive. I hate blue films.
Well, it's all powder blue, I'm sure. After all, you know, he's Swedish. You've got to expect sort of thing. But if it gets too hot, you can shut your eyes and I'll tell you when to open them again.
All right, darling. I must go now.
Have a good day. Don't work too hard.
It wouldn't be very kind if I said the same to you, would it?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll be all right.
Hope that doesn't mean you'll be seeing Joy again.
Certainly not.
But you have been seeing quite a lot of her.
Well, only when old Merivale sends me down a brief, and as he's not sending any more, that's that.
I hope so.
But, darling, if there's one thing about today that's absolutely certain, it is that I will not be seeing Joy. Now, give me a kiss, Sally. I'll walk you to the bus.
Good morning, Mr. Thursby.
Morning, Alec.
Just as well you didn't leave it any later to come in.
But, Alec, you don't mean I've got a case?
Well, only an inquest. But it's in Buckinghamshire, so you'll have to hurry. Coroners don't like being kept waiting.
Oh, right. Well, you better look up a train for me, Alec.
No need, sir. You're being taken by car.
Oh, good heavens. Who by?
By me.
Oh, good. Joy. You've no right to be here.
I have. I go with the brief.
And very nice, too, if I may say so. If you'll excuse me now, Miss... Mr. Grimes is waiting for me.
Now, look here, Joy. It was one thing you turning up with briefs from your uncle, but now he stopped sending them. It's different.
No, he hasn't, darling. He wants you to do a big case for him next week.
What?
Only as a junior, but the brief will be marked at least 50 guineas, and the case should last at least a week, so there'll be refreshers, too.
Joy, you're not pulling my leg.
I'd never pull your leg, Roger. I might stroke it. But I wouldn't pull it.
I simply don't understand. After losing your uncle, all that American business...
That American was a fraud.
A fraud?
He'd been going on with a lot of forged documents or something, swindling solicitors. And if you hadn't kept him away, Uncle Alfie might have been another victim. So, of course, now he thinks you're absolutely brilliant.
Getting to know the real me at last, eh? Well, tell me about this big case.
I don't know much about it, but I do know you've got this inquest to do first, and we ought to be going. Come on, Roger. My car's just round the corner.
It's very kind of you, but it won't be necessary. I'll make my own way there by train.
Don't be silly, Roger. You haven't time, and Uncle Alfie won't think it's so brilliant if they start ringing up from the inquest to know where his counsel is.
I don't like this, Joy. The whole thing's wrong, you having to drive me. Why wasn't I told about this inquest yesterday or the day before?
Someone must have forgotten.
You did it deliberately. Which way are you going?
By the M4, of course.
Then why are you going down here?
It was quicker by the embankment.
No, not this street. Joy, stop. Turn right.
Sorry, darling. It's too late. This is one way.
Damn. This is the street where...
Where Sally works, so it is number 17, isn't it?
Don't slow down.
Sorry, my seatbelt's not very comfortable.
Joy, you're not to stop. No, I forbid it.
Sorry, touched it by mistake. Oh, look, isn't that Sally at the window? Do wave to her.
Ow!
Roger, if you turn your head away as quick as that, you'll do yourself a mischief.
Do you think she saw us?
I don't know, darling, but does it matter? I'm sure she'll understand.
That's the trouble.
Trouble? Surely Sally's not the jealous type.
Jealous? She doesn't know the meaning of the word.
That's all right, then.
As long as she doesn't see.
What did you say, Roger?
Nothing. Joy, both hands on the wheel, please.
Oh, if you insist.
I do. Now, tell me what the case is about.
Oh, nothing very much. A doctor killed his patient.
And who am I appearing for?
Well, not the patient.
But, did he do it on purpose?
Well, you'll be able to ask him. I shouldn't think so. After all, he was 95.
Doctor of 95? Oh, you mean the patient was 95? Why did the doctor kill him? Euthanasia, I suppose?
Euthanasia what?
Putting the old man out of his misery.
Nothing of the sort. He was a very hearty old man. He could still play croquet.
Croquet at 95?
I'll bet you'll do more than that when you're 95.
Why did he kill him?
Oh, you have to ask him that. You're appearing for the relatives, and they want to know why great Uncle Arthur was torn away from them so prematurely.
What's the name of the case?
Well, the old man is called Antares, and the doctor's name is Turnweather. All you've got to do is put up a show.
Thank you, Mr. Turnweather. Do you wish to cross-examine Mr. Turnweather, Mr. Thursby?
If you please, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Turnweather, you are an orthopedic surgeon, I understand?
Correct.
And you say that Mr. Antares' doctor referred him to you for a misplaced cervical disc?
Correct.
And you manipulated him to do whatever you do to a misplaced cervical disc?
Correct.
And in the process, you killed him?
Correct.
But you say it was an accident?
Correct.
Mr. Turnweather, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to be a little more forthcoming. How exactly did you kill him?
I tore the dentate ligament and caused the odontoid process to be forced posteriorly into the spinal cord at the level of the axis vertebra.
Mr. Thursby, I take it that you are none the wiser.
Correct, sir. Tell me, Mr. Turnweather, could you have avoided this accident?
Yes. If I had not torn the dentate ligament, I would not have caused the odontoid process to be forced posteriorly into the spinal cord at the level of the axis vertebra.
I see.
Do you, Mr. Thursby?
But in a sort of way, sir, yes. I think the witness means that if he hadn't torn the thingamay, he wouldn't have caused the... he wouldn't have caused the other thingamay to be forced backwards and up the...
Try spinal cord, Mr. Thursby.
Yeah, up the spinal cord, yes. The spinal cord, yes. Then you said something about a level crossing?
At the level of the axis vertebra.
At the level of the axis vertebra.
Now you know where you are, I take it, Mr. Thursby.
Well, I didn't know I was going to have to deal with technical medical questions.
I sympathize, Mr. Thursby. Next time you have a case of this kind, I recommend that you read Palgrave on Fractures. Matter of fact, you'll find a very similar case to this in Dr. Palgrave's book.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions, Mr. Thursby?
No, thank you very much.
Yes, well, I'm satisfied that this was a pure accident. In view of the deceased's age, it can hardly be called a tragedy. But naturally, it's a great blow to relatives and friends, and I express my deepest sympathy to them. I shall return a verdict of accidental death in accordance with the medical evidence.
You were splendid, Roger. Did you understand a word that the coroner was saying?
About the axis, what's his name? Well, sort of.
How clever you are, darling. Here's the car. What is it?
I think I'd better go back by train.
But the car's much quicker.
I'm in no hurry.
Aren't you good? Nor am I. There's a nice little hotel where they do an awfully good lunch. It's only a mile off the M4, by a stream. We could go there.
No, Joy, I'm adamant. I promised that...
What did you promise her?
That I wouldn't see you today.
But you have seen me, haven't you? So as you've broken your promise, you might as well go on breaking it, mightn't you?
No, I am adamant.
They do a most awfully good lobster Newburg at that restaurant. One of your favourite things, isn't it? And the train will be so hot and stuffy today. Still, if you're adamant...
Lobster Newburg, did you say?
And their souffle Grand Marnier is good, too.
Oh, well, perhaps just this once.
Jump in.
Right.
Hello.
Hello, darling. Oh, hello.
How dare you call me darling?
Well, why not, darling? You are a darling, aren't you, darling?
And I suppose Joy is too, and her darling new sports car.
Oh, Lord, she did see. What do you mean?
You know very well what I mean. What did I ask you this morning? Were you going to see Joy? And what did you answer? If there is one thing certain.
But...
And then 2 hours later, I looked out of the window, and there you both were.
But, Sally, I wasn't actually with Joy.
No. Her double, perhaps?
I was with the representative of Thornton Merivale & Co. at inquest. And as it was outside London, they said, look, we can't stand here on the doorstep arguing. Let's go over to the gardens, and I can explain.
I'm sure you can.
You see, there's this case he wants me to do with a brief worth £50 and plenty of refreshers. I simply couldn't risk losing it, could I? Not that I wanted to go with Joy today, but I had no choice. It was all laid on. Ask Alec if you like. You must believe me.
This time I think I do.
Oh, thank goodness for that. You do look smashing in that colour, darling. Where shall we have dinner?
Nowhere too expensive. There's a marvellous new French place near Cambridge Circus. Rather cheap.
Well, try that then.
I believe they do lobster Newburg awfully well.
Not again.
What?
What? Nothing.
I thought it was one of your favourite things.
It is, but enough is as good as a... come on, darling. And if you don't want to go to that film, we can choose something else.
No, let's go. The photography's sure to be wonderful. Jealousy. It's an absurd emotion. Thank heavens I never am. Why, what is it, Roger?
It's nothing, darling. Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. You can open your eyes now, Sally. No! Shut them again, quick!
It's all right, Roger. I can take it.
Are you sure? I mean, a bit of symbolism's all right, but this is getting a bit hot here.
Roger.
Yes?
Someone's tickling the back of my neck.
It's not me.
I think it's the man behind me.
What? The brute? Now look here, my man.
It's all right. It was only that woman's coat.
Oh.
Roger, I said it was all right.
It isn't. Oh.
I made a mistake. Now turn round and look at the film.
I can't.
Can't?
My neck. When I swung round. Oh. Sally, we have to go. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Poor darling. You can't go to court like that, can you? Your head's all on one side. Never mind, it'll soon be better. Your appointment's for Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact, Mother.
You're not worrying about the operation, surely?
It's not an operation, Mother. Manipulation.
Well, you're not worrying about that.
No, of course not. Well, as a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, why, darling, it'll all be over in 2 or 3 minutes.
That's what they say when they hang people.
Don't be silly, darling. There's nothing dangerous in this.
There shouldn't be.
You've been looking up medical dictionaries. I know. I did it once, but never again. You think you've got every disease under the sun. What's that book you've got there?
It's nothing, Mother.
Now, Roger, what is it?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's called... well, you wouldn't know anything about it. It's not your sort of book.
What is it?
Palgrave on Fractures.
So that's what's frightened you.
I'm not frightened. I'm just a bit worried. Well, so would you be. How are you like a man to tear your dentate ligament and cause the odontoid process to be forced posteriorly into the spinal cord at the level of the axis vertebra?
What do you mean?
I had to go to an inquest on a man who was killed like that. And there's another one in his book. So that's two. And you know, Grandmother used to say that all good things come in threes.
darling, an accident like that only happens once in a million times. You never worried when you had that trouble with your knee. If there'd been an accident then, you might have had a stiff knee for life.
Well, that was quite different. If I had a stiff knee, I could still enjoy life. I still have you and Sally and the theatres and concerts and the bar. But if they make a mistake with a neck, well, I mean to say, that's where they hang people, isn't it? Because the neck's a nice convenient thing to break.
Nobody's going to break your neck, Roger. Hundreds of people are manipulated every day.
That's what I keep saying to myself.
Well, they all come out alive.
Not all, no, not all. What about the man who had his dentate ligament torn in his odontoid process forced posteriorly to the spinal cord? Posteriorly? It sounds horrible.
You shouldn't have read that book.
You're quite right, Mother, I shouldn't. This morning I was going along the train. It seemed to say, Thursday week, Thursday week, Thursday week. Then as the speed increased, broke his neck, broke his neck, broke his neck. I was quite clad when some stupid twitch stood on my toe. Anyway, I mustn't get you down, Mother, too. I'll snap out of it. I've got this brief of Medivale's coming in. I'll concentrate on that. Oh, good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Mr. Thursby. You're not looking that good today.
I'm not feeling so good today. I've got to have this beastly manipulation on Thursday. It's got me down a bit, I suppose.
Manipulation? Well, my sister's a physiotherapist. Might I ask where? I'm sure she'd be interested.
The neck, as a matter of fact.
Well, let's hope they don't break it.
Break it?
It has been known.
Don't tell me, please. Is Mr. Grimes in?
Yes, sir.
Come in. Hello, my dear Thursby.
I wonder if I can come in for a moment, Grimes.
Yeah, of course you can, my dear fellow. Sorry about your neck. It's awkward for you.
Well, I'm going to have it manipulated on Thursday.
Oh, who's doing it for you?
A man called Maxbray.
Oh, very good man, my dear fella.
Grimes, I wonder if I could ask you something. I was wondering whether it was really necessary. My neck hurts a little, but it's not all that bad. I can live with it.
Dear fella, you're worrying about the manipulation. Same as I did when I was a boy. I was on the operating table, you know, waiting to have the appendix out. Just before I had the anesthetic, pain disappeared. Completely disappeared. It's a wonderful thing, nature. I was frightened of the operation, so the pain disappeared. No pain, no operation. Fortunately, they took no notice, operated, and just managed to save me life.
But I don't mind pain, Grimes. I'm not in reason, that is. I could get along with it if necessary.
Oh, my dear boy, it isn't necessary.
But supposing he made a mistake and broke my neck?
Well, that can't happen, of course. You've got a good 2-to-1 chance, huh? You better, I was only joking, silly of me. I'm very sorry. I've never known a case of this kind being fatal, not one. That make you feel better?
What, you mean there's no real chance of a mishap? No chance at all?
Never a one, my dear fella.
But what about this chap in Palgrave on fractures, whose dentate ligament was torn with the result that the odontoid process was forced into the spinal cord posteriorly?
Well, of course, a surgeon's only human every now and again, I suppose. Things should happen.
Wait, but you admit then it's possible? He might break my neck?
Oh, my dear Thursby, it's more likely that on the way back from a successful manipulation, the motor car will mow you down.
I've thought of that too, Grimes. I shouldn't like to think that my chances weren't much better than that. Anyway, I won't waste any more of your time.
Oh, it's quite all right, my dear fella.
Oh, Mr. Thursby, I rang my sister and mentioned your little trouble to her. A funny thing. She said a man could live with a broken neck. And I wouldn't have believed it myself.
Really, Alec?
Yes, she said that when she was in hospital, they brought in a man with a broken neck, and he lived for 3 months.
Really?
3 whole months. Can't have been very comfortable. I'd have thought it'd be better to be killed straight off. Wouldn't you, Mr. Thursby?
I prefer not to be killed at all.
My sister says they've just invented a drug which makes manipulation quite unnecessary. You just inject it and somehow or other it pushes the disc back into place. She says that manipulators will be out of work once this thing's on the market.
I think he's not likely to be on the market before Thursday, Alec.
Oh, have a heart, Mr. Thursby. It's only just been invented in America. My sister thinks it'll be 2 or 3 years before it gets over here. That is, if it stands up to the tests.
So my neck is to be broken on Thursday, not in 3 years' time. Look, could you get my mother on the telephone, Alec? I'll speak to her in my room.
Certainly, sir.
Hello, Mother, is that you?
Yes, darling. What is it, Roger?
I know it sounds silly, but I've just heard of a new drug which makes these manipulations unnecessary.
What's it called?
Well, I don't know. Do you think you would ask Gerald about it? He's very up to date on these things.
When will this drug be available?
Well, I don't know exactly, but Alec, his sister's a physiotherapist, you see. She said about 3 years.
3 years? You don't mean it.
Well, I don't see why not.
Now, look, darling, Thursday will be here and over before we know where we are. I shouldn't talk to Alec if he's going to say silly things like that.
If you don't hurry, Mr. Thursby, you'll miss that train.
Oh, good gracious, I've forgotten. Goodbye, Mother. I must fly.
read about the Mitcham murder case this morning? Rather nasty.
Did I not? I'd hang the man myself.
Well, I shouldn't mind putting a lever or pressing a button, but I shouldn't like the preliminaries. Putting the thing round his neck and whatever it is. What do you feel about it, Thursby?
I don't believe in hanging, no. I mean, who are we to take away another man's life?
He took someone else's.
Well, then you'd steal from a thief, would you? Or burn down the house of a man who committed arson? An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth?
And a neck for a neck. I don't see why not. I'd hang the fella. Tie him up, put the thing on his head, frog march him to the platform, and pull the lever. The whole works.
You're not an executioner by any chance?
In a way, you might say I am. I'm an orthopedic surgeon.
Say, Thursby, are you feeling all right?
It's nothing, no, nothing. I get these turns occasionally. I wonder if you'd mind opening the window a bit more. As a matter of fact, I've got an appointment with one of your lot tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Anything interesting?
Oh, it's just a disc being replaced.
Too many discs being replaced. I don't believe in it myself. Who's your surgeon?
A man called Maxbury.
Oh, I see. Maxbury. Maxbury, eh? What's going to win the big race at Ascot? Anybody any ideas?
Mother, do get hold of Gerald at once. I met a fellow on the train, an orthopedic surgeon, and he obviously thinks nothing of this chap was doing me.
What was his name?
Well, after what he said, I didn't like to ask him. It might have looked as though I was going to cook up a libel action or something. And another thing, too, he thinks half these manipulations are all wrong. We must check up with Gerald.
But, darling, we had checked up with Gerald. He said you couldn't go to a better man than Maxbury. And you told me yourself that Grimes says he's first class.
Yes, that's true. He did say that. I wish I knew the name of the chap in the train. As a matter of fact, I do know the other chap slightly, a man called Tomlinson. Perhaps he knew him. I'll ring him up.
Tomlinson speaking.
Oh, it's Roger Thursby. You know, we met on the train the other day.
Ah, yes. We had the executioner with us.
Yes, that's why I'm ringing you. Do you happen to know his name?
Oh, I've never seen him before. He seemed a knowledgeable chap, didn't he? I nearly asked him his name, as a matter of fact, in case anything happened to me. Yes, I like these chaps who don't believe in operations and manipulations, even though it's against their interest to say so. I trust a fellow like that. Yes, he didn't seem to think much of your fellow, did he? I'm sure he's all right.
He's a very distinguished orthopedic surgeon. Well, thank you very much. I mustn't trouble you any more. Goodbye.
Finished your breakfast, Roger?
The condemned man ate a hearty meal.
Don't be silly, darling. Would you like me to come with you?
Certainly not, Mother. I'm quite capable of going by myself.
Wouldn't you feel happier if you knew that I was in the waiting room?
Waiting for what?
For you to come out.
And if I didn't?
But whatever happens, you'll come out.
Feet first.
Roger, you were never like this as a small boy when I took you to the dentist.
It's different having a tooth out. One can live without a tooth. The next different. I keep on thinking about that poor old chap at 95.
The one who played croquet, you mean?
The one who had his neck broken. The coroner expressed his sympathy to relatives. How are you like a coroner expressing his sympathy to you? I can see it all. Promising young man at the bar, terrible tragedy. Just one of those things that will happen, nobody's fault. Accidental death in accordance with the medical evidence. You couldn't even make a claim. Not unless he was negligent. Of course, if he was, you could say you were dependent on me.
Could I?
Well, why not? You are, aren't you? What about my rent?
But you have to borrow it from me before you can pay me.
Look, you needn't mention that unless anybody asks you. And even if they do, I'm keeping an account, aren't I?
An account's one thing, cash is another. Or so those tradesmen keep telling me.
But you get cash, Mother, as soon as I've done this Merivale case.
But you won't be able to do it unless you get your neck done, will you?
Mother, don't say that.
What?
Get your neck done, it's ridiculous. I mean, this fellow Maxbury, he doesn't break his patients' necks every time, does he? Must be one or two who get away with it. Or he wouldn't be allowed to go on practicing, would he? I mean, look at the other chap, Turnweather. I don't suppose he breaks every neck that comes along, do you? I mean, well, of course he doesn't. It's ridiculous. Of course he doesn't break every neck that comes along. Turnweather's breaking necks. Maxbury breaking necks. It's perfectly ridiculous.
Now, that's exactly what it is. Perfectly ridiculous. Would you like to take me to lunch afterwards?
Well, I'm taking Sally, as a matter of fact. If there is any afterwards.
Well, come and have dinner with me, then. We'll be able to laugh at it.
You're quite right, Mother. I ought to laugh at it. Let's have a good laugh together, shall we? Ha, ha, ha.
That sounded a bit strained.
Yes, it was a bit. How's this? Ah. Oh, forget that. Forget it. Just because I happen to come across one case in a million at an inquest, it's ridiculous I should make all this fuss about it.
That's better. That's more like you. You can forget about that other case and that silly book you've got.
Of course. There were two cases, weren't there? And they wouldn't put it in the book unless it could happen again, would they?
I'm sure Mr. Maxbury will be very careful, Roger. He knows what an important neck he's got to deal with. You better go now, Roger. You don't want to make him angry, do you?
Angry?
If you're late. Good luck, darling, and goodbye.
Mr. Thursby, is it? Nice to see you, Mr. Thursby. Looking at the way you're holding your head, it's about time you came to see me.
It's not so bad, you know, Mr. Maxbury.
It hurts a good deal, doesn't it?
No, not so much. No, it's fine. I can live with it.
Well, you won't have to.
What do you mean?
You won't have to live with it. I am going to put it right.
Of course, yes. Thank you very much.
Take off your coat, please, and your shirt, and lie down there. It won't take very long. Ever had anything like this before?
Not on the neck.
There's nothing to it. You'll just hear a click, quite a loud one, like this. Maybe, like this. I doubt if it'll hurt very much, but if it does, it will only be for a short time.
Quite.
There's one thing I must warn you about, though. I have to grip you rather firmly. Don't resist, please, or it could be dangerous.
Dangerous?
I might break your neck.
You mean... you might tear the dentate ligament and cause the odontoid process to be forced to the spinal cord at the level of the axis vertebra?
Posteriorly. Have you been reading Palgrave on fractures?
I glanced at it.
It's the first time I've had a patient who's read that book. But as you have, I'll tell you something that'll interest you. That case he mentioned when the fellow's neck was broken was his own case.
Really?
The patient knew nothing, of course, but it upset Palgrave a good deal. All the same, Palgrave was a great man. As a matter of fact, I did all my orthopedic training under him. Every bit. Now, if you're ready...
Stop!
Mr. Thursby, please lie still. What do you think you're doing? Take your hands off me! Go! Mr. Thursby, stop it! Oh!
Thank you very much, Mr. Maxbury. That's done the trick.
My neck!
Oh, Mr. Maxbury, don't tell me you've got a misplaced cervical disc now.
Oh!
Don't worry. I know the very man for this sort of trouble. Name of Turnweather. He's a follower of Palgrave, too.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Alec, Blake Butler, Maxbury, Alan Curtis, Turnweather, Edward Kelsey, the coroner, William Fox, Tomlinson, John Sampson, and the man in the train, John Rowe. Manipulation was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, and the program was produced by Trevor Whitelock.